Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out. And my name is Robert Winters, and today is the day before the solstice, the summer solstice, June 20th, 2023. And with me today
is Patrick Barrett.
Mr. Barrett.
I don't like that solstice talk. It just reeks of hippie. tone it down, Mr. Winters. Tone it down.
All right, I'll relax. I'll do my best to relax here. So there's some interesting things happening right now locally. Let me first make a pitch, you know, just since I've sort of spoken about this in the past, is that John Pitkin and I and Gregorio Leon put together this sort of history of the Cambridge City Charter. That's available online, pretty easy to find. And we are working on part two, which is the planning era. We've got a few good things planned for that, but you know, that's going to take us a little while to get that done, but that's what we're working on. Another thing I should at least mention here up front is that it is a municipal election year, and there have been a few new developments this month. Everything was really slow, but now in the month of June, which is, and the nomination papers can be picked up by candidates beginning July 3rd. So that's really just a week, 2 weeks from now, less than 2 weeks from now. But we have two exits, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, what do we have? Four entries of candidates. I think that's about right. So we can talk about that. So anyway, Mr. Barrett, do you have any impressions of that? I'll list some names in a second.
So I know a few people who are running. You know, I've heard rumors about other councillors who might be departing. I know of other council aides who will remain nameless on this show forever and all time. But they also think they can run, which is laughable. But in terms of actual people who've stepped up, I think the four you're about to mention are the ones that I know about. There's always rumors about people. I heard that Pat Barrett was going to run. He's terrible. So I hope that doesn't happen. but I know that people are contemplating it. And my guess is, like all things, people wait for the dramatic effect, that the Tim Toomey the Tim Toomey surprise, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, actually, sometimes that's done quite strategically, where a candidate, an incumbent, for example, might not let it be known that they're not going to run, and just because they're trying to give an advantage to a person who they'd like to pass the, you know, do the handoff to. Yeah. You know, so for example, I mean, there are sort of obvious examples of that, like when Walter Sullivan decided to not seek re-election, and that was simultaneous with the announcement that Michael Sullivan, his son, would be running for election. So I think it was pretty much simultaneous.
Sounds like a coordinated effort.
Yeah, well, I would call that very much the ultimate coordinated effort. Yeah. But there have been other ones which have been maybe not so immediate, you know. Like Sheila Russell pretty much passed the ball to David Marr. And there have been things like that over time.
So
as well.
who are the four that you got on your list?
Okay, so, and again, nobody's really a candidate, not even the incumbents, until they pull nomination papers, get their minimum of 50 and maximum of 100 registered voter signatures, and then turn them in and get certified by the Cambridge Election Commission. So I always need to sort of emphasize that nobody's actually a candidate until that happens. However, the way it works in Massachusetts with the Office of Campaign and Political Finance is that if you have any intention of raising money, which would mean almost all candidates will raise money, then you file paperwork before you can raise a dime. So I generally look at that pretty much every day, you know, just to see if there's anything new. So the first one, person to file with the Office of Campaign and Political Finance was a fellow named Peter Hsu, HSU, who lives on Gore Street down East Cambridge. I don't know anything about him. The second person was a former city councilor, Jeevan Sabrina Wheeler, who still lives on Brookline Street, who announced that he would again seek re-election. He was defeated 2 years ago.
to quote the great Dave Chappelle, I wish I had two more hands to give him four thumbs down.
Okay. And then the two more recent entries, and again, this is only by having filed paperwork with the state, is a gentleman named Vernon K. Walker, or the Reverend Vernon K. Walker, who lives on down 165 Main Street. So, all right, so that's, you know, close to Central Square, down around that way. So is that actually Newtown Court? I'm not even sure how far down.
Was it 600 Main Street?
It's 165 Main, or is that all the way down in Kendall?
No, that's way down.
Okay.
I'm 907 Main. The engine's like 800 block.
Okay, yeah, so it's way down there. And then there's somebody, and I hope I pronounced the name correctly. It's Aya, A-Y-A-H, Al-Zubi, so that's A-L-Z-U-B-I, who lives at 18 Inman Street. Mm-hmm. So that's a Central Square one. And I don't know anything about her other than the fact that she appears to be a very recent Harvard graduate, could be very much as close as, you know, close to 22 years old or 23 years old, something like that. I don't think I've ever actually heard her name associated with any, you know, municipal government or, you know, showing up or doing this or that. Right. Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty open-minded about it. I'm actually just glad to see that we're actually getting some candidates. You know, I might as well at least mention, I don't want to be cagey about it, but, you know, some people have asked me if I'm interested in it, and I'll just simply say I'm interested. I don't know. I don't really know. Honestly, I wake up some days and think to myself, hey, should I do this again? You know, it's been a long time since I was a candidate. And then other days I wake up and say, Robert, you're crazy. Why would you do that to yourself?
I want a brand new Robert Winters number one bumper sticker. I'm voting for you.
Well, you know, do it. At the very, very least, I have some strong interest in making sure that the issues about the Cambridge Charter and some other rather important things at least get their fair hearing around the city, which I'm not so sure all the candidates are really sort of ready to do all of that.
Robert, the biggest issue, and you and I talk about this all the time, is we have a small group of activists populating our city council one by one, and they're not holistic. They're not looking at the city as one. They're looking through this very, very honed lens of their individual activism, and they're either the environmental guy, or they're the bicycle guy, or they're the housing guy, or they're the social justice guy. And, you know, for what they bring to the table with zero expertise in any of those subjects is, you know, the nonsense that we've had for the past 2 years with this current group of people, who are, you know, might be good at stirring the pot, but not effective in any measurable way.
You know, I sometimes compare it, or, you know, contrast it to, you know, years past. I mean, I think what you just described, which is sort of like single issue candidates, but there's sort of been the rise of the organizations and the sites, which tend to be pretty much single issue organizations as well. You know, whether it's people promoting subsidized housing or bicycle infrastructure or green stuff, you know, with the climate people like Mothers Out Front. I don't think they've really given too much opinion on a lot of anything other than their issue, their single issue. You know, so they're very active in the political landscape. But it's in years past, I'm not endorsing this as sort of the way it should be necessarily, but you had a lot of people who were born, you know, the candidates, typically independent candidates, were the ones who were typically born and raised in Cambridge, and they had a kind of a pretty strong neighborhood focus, you know, constituent services and whatever. I don't really hear that so much anymore.
Well, the council is predominantly big issue type stuff. They're into policy now, where instead of trying to figure out how to make the rats go away, or trying to figure out, you know, whether or not it's smart to have 16 guys with leaf blowers come behind a street cleaning truck, they're talking about, you know, trying to fix climate change through the very narrow miles, trying to, you know, in a sense, create equity by removing eighth grade algebra, even though other places have already done that and it's failed miserably. I think it's been really confusing to me the past especially because it's just been on like nonstop, that they have no expertise in, and that they look at a group like Eversource, or they look at the engineers and specialists who come in and speak and say, no, sorry, sir, I know better than you. I read Mother Jones just the other day. I read The Atlantic just the other day, and boy, have I got some ideas. You know, like, we have to do better than these Cliff Note counselors. It's just terrible.
Right. Well, I think this is what happens when you sort of come in with a head full of ideology and a very narrow focus, as opposed to a more broader viewpoint about the city. You know, one of the, you know, the flip side of the days when the independents, were definable was the Cambridge Civic Association. They would endorse candidates for city council and school committee, and they, you know, I think they kind of died out not too long after rent control went away. They had unfortunately strapped themselves to the mast of that ship, and when the ship went down, they went down with it. But one thing I can say about the CCA, in spite of all of their the negatives, many people had some strong feelings about the CCA and the way they did business, is that they at least tried to be somewhat more comprehensive in their viewpoint about civic culture. They would talk about the charter, they would talk about the water department, they would talk about the schools, they would focus on different types of aspects to housing. It was not just, as we see right now, where it's, you know, one and done, you know, one answer.
What I would have liked the city councilor to tell me about water softeners. I didn't know nothing about hard water till I came here. And I got rocks in, you know, my residential properties and my hotel. We have to use aerators in my own house. I just installed one, actually. I got to tell you, Robert, it is a life changer. But my wife was telling me it was damaging her hair. It also damages all the pipes in the house. But like, that's an issue.
I wish I could blame my hair loss on Cambridge
water. I'm going to blame it right now. Directly affected.
Well, I don't know about that exactly, but but anyway, I have, you know, it's funny because I was sort of inside the CCA once upon a time, then I was on the outs with the CCA, and then I was back in with the CCA. But for all of its pros and cons, ultimately, I am somewhat respectful of the notion that we actually had what I might loosely call civic infrastructure. An entity that actually tried to look broadly at issues, and an entity that had a history with the city. I mean, they were the people who began the CCA were the same people who brought the Plan E charter to the city back in the 1930s.
We're surrounded by ideologues at the moment. Either if you're not, like, you know, we go down the list of accomplishments these dingbats have foisted upon us, but the bike lane conversation, like bike lanes. You're the for it, or you're the devil incarnate. You're either for McGovern was talking about safe injection sites the other day, and you know, he's been begging me to go to Montreal, take a look at this place. And I'm like, I don't want to go to Montreal. I want to go to San Francisco, and I want to go to Harlem in New York. I want to see what this thing does in action in American soil. And if I'm not for it, I am a NIMBY, which I thought that's kind of interesting. Considering my profession, but then I can't look at an issue and add nuance to it, because if I add nuance to it, well, now you're brushing into Fox News territory, which is just insane to me.
You know, whether it's that issue or quite a few issues, you know, the one pattern that I've seen over, really, it's been developing over some years. It's not just over the last year and a half of this particular city council. Maybe it's sort of, you know, it's reaching its pinnacle here. I don't know. But it's the my way or the highway way of looking at issues. In other words, so if you came in and you were part of the votes that were there to implement the I always say it's the bicycle safety ordinance or the cycling safety. I think it's CSO, cycling safety ordinance. So the thing is, you know, take a person like me, my primary mode of transportation in Cambridge for most of the time I've lived here was actually bicycle. Not so much anymore, but it was. So, you know, you're not going to find me sort of being opposed to bicycle safety, but the way that the conversation has played out in recent years is more like, Well, we have passed an ordinance that says the following, and it's extremely prescriptive. It must be done this way, it must be done that way. And one of the things that I think has characterized the last year around Cambridge is that when people have raised issues about it, you know, and saying, well, I don't think we like how it's being implemented in North Mass Ave. Right. Or we don't necessarily like how it was implemented along parts of Mass Ave near between Central Square and Harvard Square, or what's being planned for Cambridge Street. I'm going to be very interested watching closely how it plays out for the Main Street piece that's being proposed right now, because there are people in public housing who park on the street there who may not be particularly thrilled with the fact that, you know, one faction of the city's political structure is saying this is righteousness, and they're saying, wait a minute.
They made it so damn prescriptive. And that's, to my mind, was like, you change a couple of lines and there's allow for some ability and some flexibility in that ordinance, and you'll probably have the opportunity to allow traffic and parking to make people much happier. But also, like, I can't think of any group that I've ever known in the city of Cambridge that went around asking people to sign pledges not to change the ordinance, and that councilors were willing to do that. It was like Grover Norquist-esque to like sign this and sign that you will absolutely unequivocally not alter this perfect ordinance. And you're like, you know, that's just friggin' weird.
Right. Well, that's kind of what I, you know, it may not be the highway, my way or the highway. Maybe it's my way or my bike way or the highway, right? That's right. There were six of them who signed a pledge that said, under no circumstances shall I act like a legislator does, which is to evaluate things and modify and act accordingly.
And the thing about you Cambridgios, I'm going to throw you under the bus right now, that just drives me bonkers. And I'm, you know, I don't even know where my politics are. They're all over the place, but like these friggin' progressive liberals that live in the city, they're so self-righteous. The thing I don't like about them the most, they make me defend people I don't like. They get me so riled up that I'm like, you know what? The person who's, you know, throwing a banana peel on your bicycle, I'm going to defend that person now because you're just such a self-righteous prick. Right. I feel bad about that position, but like, Cambridge is the only place they ever brought that out of me. But then there are other issues too. You know, we're talking about all these climate, the suite of climate regulations these ding-dongs have passed. None of which are going to do a dang thing to stop, you know, the incoming heat swell.
But by the way, what is the listing of this? I certainly know Budo is pending.
Oh, and yeah.
They adopted the stretch energy code, which I was expected. I'm not too shocked by that.
We got the building energy use disclosure ordinance amendments, Budo. We got the climate resiliency regulations that the planning board drafted and passed. We have the embodied carbon emissions that they passed. We have the net zero stretch code. There was green roofs a little while back before that. That's equally ridiculous. But those are the things they passed that don't really exist really in many places. I mean, Budo, I believe it's called Article 97 in New York. It's called Birdo in Boston, but that's really it. No one else has been dumb enough to do something like this, where they're, you know, trying to pass a tax on to property owners who just yesterday were paying taxes and we love them, and we're telling them how to design their buildings. And now today we're saying, rip out all your HVAC equipment because it's bad for the environment. The group like Mothers Out Front that's just like hammering, like it's because they call themselves Mothers Out Front, I can't make fun of them because am I supposed to make fun of mom? Like, but you know, you can show up with your kid dressed up with a climate change shirt on, like a human billboard if you want to. But like in the 6.3 square miles of Cambridge, me pulling out a hot water heater ain't gonna do anything. And in fact, what they're gonna wind up hitting all these other towns. They're gonna have to basically roll over to fill in our infrastructure. And also siphon dollars away from these communities to get our place a little bit greener, a little bit sooner than everybody else.
All right,
is also not going to work because Eversource isn't at the table.
You know, whenever I think about this whole raft of initiatives, and again, you know, the idea, just like bicycle safety, is a very good idea. you know, and efficient buildings is a very good ideal, you know. But I think of myself, you know, especially sometimes when I'm just, you know, goofing around looking at Google Earth and I'm looking at buildings across Cambridge and I'm seeing, you know, there are a lot of people who have actually installed solar panels on their homes.
I have.
There are a lot of people, right? There you go. There are a lot of people, myself included, when I we became aware of home insulation programs, you know, for doing energy savings, I said,
That's a big one, Robert.
That is a big one.
It's not enough you pull out all the stuff that's in your building. If what's in between your walls is paper mache, you'll just be cranking it three times harder. So insulation, I can't believe, like, that to my mind right there is, and I'm sorry to cut you short, but like the cart before the horse. Like, we can't do any of the things they want to do pie in the sky until I stop the draft coming through the walls.
All right, so here's the conversation that I, in a normal environment, I would have expected to take place, which is that even if we, you know, and I mean this in all seriousness, now, if we passed no new regulations, how many of these good initiatives would people be undertaking anyway? Just be doing because it made sense, or it may have been a sort of 7-year buyback on doing certain investments, you know, but how many people are going to do a lot of these things just anyway? And every time when buildings, not every time, but many times when buildings turn over, there's all sorts of retrofits and things that happen sort of on their own. So did they, when they were talking about Buda, did they ever even discuss the fact that some things might just happen voluntarily without having to beat people over the head?
And this is a weird kind of pass the wonder ball of responsibility moment where, like, CDD had an ordinance that was drafted in 2014. It had a trigger in 2018 to do this if we were all bad potatoes and we didn't reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. But the reality is there's 20 buildings, 20, that CDD knows of directly because they have all their individual building measurements that are the largest contributors to greenhouse gases in Cambridge. And they contribute about 54% of all greenhouse gas emissions from buildings. 20 buildings. So going back to in my world where things are normal and logical, wouldn't you have started with the 20 biggest monster polluters and said, okay, you guys are 54% of the entire greenhouse gas emissions for the city. Let's get you guys reeled in and see what that does. And then work off of that. And then for all you homeowners, condo owners, and everybody else, what we're going to do is We have a stretch code that we're passing, the specialized stretch code. When you do upgrades, you're going to have to start doing this. But because we're not dumb and we actually read and this is, again, the perfect world where we don't actually have what we have. We've talked to Eversource. We understand the infrastructure requirements. We know that if you upgrade everything in your building and you try to plug it into the current transformer in the street, you're going to blow it up. So we're going to have to wait for them too. And the fact that the entire state's on the 2050 timeline, and we're all trying to chug along here. You know, the best part about it is that CDD had 4 years to write this thing, and all they did was copy and paste what Boston did, but removed all of the nuance and all of the actual compromises that Boston has to allow people to actually get it done. Which, it's like, you had 4 years, and you have a budget that rivals a city that's, what, six times larger than us? And you just still copied and pasted it. Were you drinking margaritas for 4 years and, like, you guys were, oh my God, we have to come with us. And then Patty Nolan and Quentin Zonovan sideline you with even wackier and dumber and stupider and jackassier ideas. And you're like, all right, 2035.
As I think correctly pointed out a couple of weeks ago doing this program, a lot of this is performative. You know, it's a lot of it is about issuing the press release and being able to say, we did this, we did that, you know, and, you know, my perspective is usually, like, can we just talk to the people of the city first and kind of come to an understanding?
I'm sorry, you know? Robert. I talk to people in the city and, like, I usually am very deferential. But, you know, aside from the hardworking people at CDD and the really good people at CDD who do basically the Lord's work behind the desk, our department heads are a waste of time. And they're just as political as the politicians who are telling them what to do.
I mean, I'm not going to apply that to every single department, but I will certainly say that some departments have become like that.
Oh, no, I think if a person wanted to run for city council and really get my attention, they can start with a platform that begins with taking CDD and ripping them up into tiny little shreds. I think every crisis that we have in the city right now is a planning crisis. We have a crisis of lack of planning. We have crime in Central Square because we didn't plan for it, even though we knew it's coming. We have a crisis of housing, even though we've known for decades that that's coming. We have a crisis for climate resiliency. We know that's coming. We put no plan together that can even be complied with. You see a pattern, Robert? It's like we know these things are coming. And in fact, we even do things that's even worse. We look at San Francisco. Oh my God, they just brought in the National Guard. We should do what they did 10 years ago that resulted in them bringing the National Guard. You know, like, it's just like, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. I just think it's just like, if it's not performative, then what is it?
Right. Well, so one of the, you did make a reference to Central Square, and I would certainly like to talk about that. Maybe we'll do that during the next half hour here. Sure. I'm going to just sort of try and wrap up this first half hour. Just going to say one thing, which we can disagree on this to some degree, but one thing over the last year and a half that was a heavy lift, so I'm going to grant them some deference on this, was that for the first time, as far as I know, ever since 1942, they had to actually select a new city manager, a city clerk, and a city auditor, right? And you can agree or disagree with the choices, you know, but I think the fact that they actually just carried out the process, I think it should at least be.
I think that's like a participation award, Robert. And I've never seen you so generous to the council, but like, you know, and I like the new manager. He seems like a nice fella, but like, I don't think they hired the right person. And I think they hired a person they can push around. And I've been asked to have faith, and I'm not the kind of person who gives faith up lightly or you know, without really getting into knowing people. But right now I have no faith. And I think this, the whole entire whole of the city right now is being jerked around because we are leaderless.
All right. Well, anyway, we're going to have to wrap this up here, but we'll be back in a few minutes on Cambridge Inside Out.